is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Mixing sports and a little bit of fun.
This is fun!
On your morning drive. This is Robbie and Rex Road. With Robbie Stanley and Joe Rex Road. Presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. On Nashville's best sports talk. 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. And on The Game Nashville app.
Ladies and gentlemen,
it's showtime.
And welcome into the Wednesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Hope everybody is doing well. Robbie and Rex Road presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Check out their new luxury listing at 6551 Brownlee at tjandersonhomes.com. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fine. Going dome today, huh? Doming it up today a little bit?
Yeah, our viewers today that watch us on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, in for a treat. They'll have Robbie Stanley today.
Yeah. All right.
Bald is beautiful.
So is this signifying something? Is it like shiny dome day? Like every day is like a day? Like it's peanut butter brownie day? Or?
I can't confirm to you that it's not. So I guess I need to look that up and see if it is shiny dome day. But really it's Robbie walked out of the house and forgot his hat day. So okay. I celebrate that from time to time, too.
That's good shaped head, man. You got a good shaped head.
Thank you.
That's the key. You know?
It really is.
That's the key.
Like, the first time I ever shaved off my hair off, I was worried about that. Then I saw it. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, like you don't know until you actually get down there, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I've seen my head because that long story that I will not get into in college that turned into my head inadvertently shaved. And it was not good, man. It was a summer of just hoping it grew back, and it was. I mean, my head is a weird shape.
Luckily for you, it did.
It's not quite the dude from Goonies, but it's not good.
No sloth.
Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah, why do I always forget his name? Keiser, have you ever seen Goonies?
Yeah, of course I've seen that.
Oh, well, I don't know. Hey, man, your predecessor. Yeah, your predecessor has seen three movies.
You guys,
they were all after 2022. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Nick Keiser, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. And actually, apparently, National Bald Day was on September 13th.
See, okay, we missed it.
Gosh.
That's 4 weeks ago.
Man. How did we not know this?
See?
And not only was that September 13th, that was a Wednesday, which means we had Kaharski in here, too. We could have really done this right.
Oh, my gosh.
Jeez.
Next year, we got to remember.
NationalDayCalendar.com. Go
sure.
Check it out, I guess.
Thank you.
Yeah. But I even think that there's, like, aren't there conflicting, like, there's some other site that has.
Oh, yeah.
So today is actually, you know, toe cheese day. What? Oh, okay.
Did you say toe cheese?
Yeah. I don't know. Just trying to think of the most random stuff I can think of.
Yeah, that would certainly be a day.
Yeah. It's a real problem in society.
It is. We got a lot to get to on the program today. We mentioned Kaharski. He will join us in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Clark Lee, Vanderbilt head coach at 7:30. The choice is yours. Nick Keiser edition coming up at 6:30. So looking forward to that. We begin with the Predators. They lose 5-3 last night to the Tampa Bay Lightning. And, Joe, it was a game where, look, Andrew Brunette really made no secrets about it throughout the preseason, but even on Monday at practice, like he feels like there's still a long way left to go for them to get to where they need to be with the system and all the different things that he's asking them to do. And boy, did it look like it in the first period. That first period, they got done with, they're outshot 13-2. It was kind of a miracle. They're only down 1-0 after the first period. And I thought to myself, ooh, this is going to be a long day down in Tampa Bay. To their credit, I thought after that, they looked pretty good. I thought they played well. You know, obviously, Tampa ends up on the power play a few times and gets a penalty shot. And when that happens, I mean, you're playing with fire when you do that. But, you know, Forsberg, O'Reilly looked good together immediately. You know, Parsonen, I thought, played really well, even, you know, beside the goal. It was a great start to Preds pick to click last night for literally everyone except me. It was all three. Nick on the board, Joe on the board, Caller on the board.
We all went with that line.
And my player was the best player on the ice last night, didn't get a single goal. It was beautiful.
Yeah. But we will remember that he played well.
But, you know, they lose the game. Obviously, you know, we can get into some call. I thought the call on Jeremy Lozon for high sticking was not a good one. It was not a very good call.
That was quite some embellishment.
It was quite the embellishment. It put Tampa on the power play, and they score. But, you know, Yossi goes to the box to really kind of halt all momentum for the Predators in the third. They score on that power play. Then they get the penalty shot, and they're back on the power play again, and Tampa wins the game. But all in all, I left the game probably feeling like they played a little bit better than I thought they would yesterday, and that they were that second and third period I thought was pretty encouraging for the Predators.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun to watch. You know, that line, first of all, you know, one game, but I like that line. I like that top line. You know, want to see more from the line. Oh, I came up with a name for the line, for the kids' line. I'll come. No, Novangicino. Novangicino.
Novangicino.
The Novangicino line. Okay. Yes, thank you.
Maybe that'll stick.
We need more from the Novangicino line.
Yes.
But Novak, I mean, golly, that goal.
What a heck of a shot.
Goodness. But, yeah, it, I mean, they were, whatever it was, the Lightning came out absolutely hair on fire. I mean, the Lightning is used to having like 3 weeks between the end of the season and the beginning of the next one. So, like, all of a sudden they're like, whoa, 5 months?
Yeah.
And they just dominated. And then P.K. Subban just lights into the Preds
at
first intermission. And the rest of the game was a lot of fun. Yeah, you don't want to put the Lightning on the it still remains true. Don't put them on the power play.
Yeah.
I guess we could say, yeah, that penalty kill needs some work, but man, those guys are surgical on the power play. And it's too, you know, obviously you hope like Saros can, you know, can get the save on the penalty shot. You know, it was a great, I mean, it was perfect. That's how you do it. Not the Johansson way. That's how you do it. You come in, you pick a spot, and you fire. And it was a great shot. But overall, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching them play. And I think it's going to be really fun to see some of these guys develop. But Parsonen, getting this opportunity of those guys, I think it could be a real good year for him.
Well, and look, everybody obviously is going to point to the goal, which was great. Great goal by him, first off. Awesome play by O'Reilly to basically grab a hold of that puck and get control of it. Forsberg with some nice patience to get the puck to Parsonen in there, and then Parsonen with the finish between the legs of the goalie on the 5-hole. So it was really good all the way around. I thought Parsonen really the whole game did a great job. He like the size protecting the puck. He drew a penalty on that play. He just I really like what I saw from him away from the puck too, which that's where I think he's a little bit different than some of these other younger guys right now. Like Tomasino and Evangelista, they still got a lot of work to do away from the puck. Like they got to get better. They got to get bigger, stronger, all those things. Parsonen away from the puck, I think right now is pretty good. And he looked that way last night, which was good to see.
Yeah, and then the Forsberg to O'Reilly, you expect it to be the other way around with O'Reilly's hands, like that sweet little pass, that touch, but it's Forsberg to O'Reilly going
play
the other way. What a pass. That's going to be fun to watch, those guys. And, you know, another guy that no one ever talks about him, and I just really appreciate watching him play. And it's not always perfect. Sometimes he gets a lot of hand and all that. But, yeah, Kyle Trenin's just fun to watch.
Yeah.
Man. You know?
He is.
He's just Trenin and Sissons, those guys, consistent grinders.
Consistent grinders. And, you know, they're going to have to play. Like, it would be great this year if they could get Trenin back in the 15, 17 goal range, somewhere around there. I mean, he's shown that he's capable of doing it. But it would be great to get him back in that range a little bit offensively. I mean, look, this is not a surprise, but the way that Forsberg and O'Reilly played last night is the way they're going to have to play all year. Like, if they don't, it's going to be difficult to see where the offense is going to come from on a consistent basis. Now, I think a lot of people are expecting Novak to, like, fall off the table this year, and the analytics would tell you that he will because of the shooting percentage and all that other stuff. You keep shooting the puck like that, he's going to be fine.
Yeah, I have a pretty high percentage if he's finding that spot, you know.
That
was
crazy.
Yeah, that was wild. Like you said, Yossi was great. It was all over the place, like you expect. What did you think of Yossi Schenn together? Schenn, obviously, like, great tackle to save the touchdown.
It was. Shen left a few things to be desired to me. I mean, it's – and, look, he didn't play with Yossi the whole time. They use him kind of situationally there. And, you know, on that play where he's getting the tackle, he was out there with Lozon, and they kind of got called on a change there. So that one is what it is. But I don't think that playing him – I need to go back and look and see what he played. I'm sure he didn't play 20 minutes. But, like, the idea of playing him 20 minutes a night, I would not.
Right.
Would not be into if right. I'm the Predators.
So you think it'll be some mix and match to avoid that?
Yeah. I mean, when you're late in the game and you need offense, like, I think you'll see Yossi and Barry together. Yeah. I think you'll see Yossi and McDonough together, which, by the way, we talk about that Forsberg pass. The play that started it was McDonough got it behind the net and just fired it right up the ice on the tape. It was a 110-foot pass right on the tape. To Forsberg. So he looked good last night, which was really good to see. And he talked, you know, he was talking to me the other day. That's the first time he's had a long offseason in a long time, and he was able to actually, you know, recover and get healthy.
So he and all the other guys on the other side.
Right.
Yeah.
So I thought McDonough looked great last night.
Yeah. Well, that's they need, that's just an interesting, you know, all around the decor to me. Because, you know, you've got, what, Fabro's a healthy scratch, which I think, obviously, that's probably going to be the case, right? But, you know, we still have to see on some of those other guys too. Lozon, et cetera.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's that one. Like, I don't think this is going to happen, but like Fabro is going to get in there at some point. It would be that injury or just be that performance. I think he's going to play a decent amount this year. So, like, is this going to be a game by game thing? Like, could he play Thursday? I don't know. But I'm going to be interested to see how that part of it plays out. I did watch the game last night. Need to see a little bit more from Tomasino and Evangelista. And it's one game, so I'm not sitting here freaking out about it. But they were not at the speed in which they need to be playing at last night, I thought.
Yeah. I mean, they're a huge part of Novangelista line.
They're two-thirds
of the Novangelista line. I thought, you know, Evangelista had one opportunity.
He did.
Where he just missed the net. Also, to act like Pittsburgh media in 2017, the ice looked pretty bad last night.
It did look bad. That puck was hopping.
Yes, it was.
But first off, I'm glad Cody Glass is okay because he takes the shot from Barry off the top of the head, and I thought that could be bad news. But he got back in the game. Looks like he's okay.
Yeah, initially, before you saw the replay where you see where it hit him, I was like, this could be bad. He was just down.
Yeah. But it looks like he's going to be okay.
Good
and
job
just
protecting.
Kind of a scare there. So, we'll take your thoughts on the Pred, 615-737-1025. Already got some on the text line. We'll continue to take those on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What did you think of the Preds' season opener, and what kind of confidence did that give you that maybe they can hang with some of these teams, especially out of the gate? They talked about it on the broadcast last night. Five teams in a row to begin the season that made the playoffs last year. So it's going to be a tough early test for the Predators. We'll continue to discuss that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Tune in to 1025, 1063, The Game this Saturday for our college football game of the week presented by Twin Peaks as Vanderbilt takes on Georgia at 11 a.m. with pregame beginning at 9:30. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks for scenic views of all the hottest college football games across the country. And home of the 29-degree beer, we'll have Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee on with us later today at 7:30. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Preds, they lose 5-3 in their season opener against Tampa Bay. What did you make of the game? What did you make of the way that the Predators played? Cody on the text line says, that was the most fun I've had watching the Preds since the Stanley Cup run. So excited for the future. Another texter says, first impressions, I like this Predators team. I saw a fight that we haven't had in a while. This is from an unnamed texter on the text line. There you go.
Is this going to get annoying? The positivity going to get annoying now with the team? Can we complain a little bit about the Preds? I mean, come on. They lost 5-3. Let's have some complaints, everybody.
I don't know that it's the most exciting that they've been since the Stanley Cup run, but it was a fun game last night.
Well, what about the most fight in a while? I mean, really?
We're one game in. It's hard. It's really very difficult to determine that.
I understand, like, this is all so much about basically, like, all the people that everybody was complaining about are all gone, you know?
Right.
And you finally have embraced some level of change and new direction. So
correct.
So I get it. I'm joking. But yeah, I don't know. But I mean, I think they've had plenty of fight, and they had some really good stretches in the last few years. But still, disappointing overall because it was still technically "quote unquote" the go for it phase,
right?
And it is no longer that.
It's no longer that, and it's different. And there's some new blood in there from a coaching staff, general manager. Like the whole thing's different. So it's going to feel different this year. I mean, it's been really interesting to watch, like, league-wide. You know, a lot of predictions came out yesterday and on Monday. It's been really fascinating to see, like, where the Predators fall in those, because I've seen a lot that have the Predators, like, kind of right on the playoff bubble. I've seen a few that have got them making the playoffs, and I've seen some that think that they're just going to be awful, like, worse than Arizona, awful this year.
Which, I think one of our people had them worse than Arizona.
Yeah, which is interesting. Like, I don't think they're going to be that bad. I do think they're going to be closer to the playoffs than they will be, like, the bottom of the league. But, like, this, there's a lot that has to go right for this team. Like, I said it. It may be unfair to expect Forsberg and O'Reilly to play the way they played last night every game. And, look, they're not going to play the way they played last night every game. But out of the 82 games, if they both played in all 82 games, for this team to make the playoffs, how often do they need to play that way? And if you're asking me, 55, 60, like, they've got to be the two guys in the forward group that carry them offensively. And they're off to a good start.
Yeah.
But they've got to be the two guys that carry them offensively. Because when you're relying on as many guys as they are that are younger, like your Glasses and Novaks and Evangelistas, those guys, like, there's just probably not, in most of those cases, going to be a consistency level that comes with that. And you got to have it from O'Reilly and Forsberg.
Yeah, and great start with Parsonen. I mean, just looking at it, one game, I like how that looks together. I really do. So, obviously you have your fourth line, and I think those guys know their roles. And like you said, they should be able to find a little bit of offense. Trenton almost had Cole Smith for a
Cole
gimme.
Smith ripped
He was right there.
Yeah, he did.
He was right there.
That's one thing that did not change from last year to this year. A lot of Predators fans very upset at Cole Smith last night.
Yeah, sure. Yell at Cole. That's fair. You know, Novangicino's got to – and I'm interested. I think that there's certainly something there. But that's a – like you talk about making the playoffs, how quickly – will they gel together? Yep. Will that work together? And then, you know, how quickly can you get that going? The other line is, you know, the Glass line is kind of like the line where I look at it, like, see, like, down the road, there's where you need to address, you know? I mean, like,
it's going to change at some point.
Yeah, and that'll change. But I'm saying, like, beyond this season, even, like, that's where you look at this team, like, okay, see, you know, that's where you're different from, like, the top teams in the league. You know, that's sort of a cobbled together line.
That, right.
You know, kind of tough for Glass is in terms of his offensive numbers this year, if that's going to stay that way, but we'll see.
April in Portland on the text line says, after the first period is very exciting. They need to be more disciplined, stay out of the box, excited about the future. Trevor says, Joe wants a complaint. Okay, their power play sucks. This is from Trevor on the text line.
Well, the thing is, the first one was maybe the worst power play I've ever seen.
It
like
was terrible.
They didn't come close to setting up or completing a pass. I mean, I was like, that's one of the worst power plays I've ever seen. But I thought
got better.
They got a lot better. Yeah, you could see it a little bit after that. I thought they definitely. I mean, they had some real. They had some good stuff going after that. But thank you, Trevor. I'm here for some complaints.
Mike in Denver, Colorado says, I'm not going to draw any conclusions from the Preds team based on one game. Would have loved to keep the lead in the third, but to me, this is the year that sets expectations for this team for the next 2 to 3 years. This is from Mike in Denver, Colorado.
Who used to be Mike from Montana. So apparently congrats on your move, Mike.
We're going to change that on the text line now.
Yeah. All right. I hope the move went well.
I hope it did, too.
And good to hear from April.
You know,
April doesn't text in when we talk about football.
She doesn't. For the talkie season again.
That's right.
She's fired up.
Here we go.
So, look, all in all, I thought it was a good opening game. Now, we mentioned this briefly yesterday, but this is a heck of a stretch for the Predators to get things started here. Five teams in a row to begin the season that made the playoffs last year. Got Seattle in the home opener coming up. Boston on the road on Saturday, which that's going to be an interesting team. They're not going to be – I don't think anywhere near as good as they were last year, but still a good team. Edmonton coming in Tuesday, and then on the road to Peter Laviolette and the New York Rangers. So five teams right out of the gate that were playoff teams a year ago. You're 0-1, so you got to find a way. Like, I mean, you can't let yourself get to 0-5 in this stretch. You got to find a way to keep your head above water as you're playing some of these tougher teams to begin the season.
You got them 0-5, huh? Dang.
I do not.
Dang.
Whew. They'll get a couple.
Yeah. Well, it'd be big for them to get the home opener, you know?
It would.
Get that one.
Which, by the way, Seattle didn't look great last night. They got hammered by Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas. A great night to be able to celebrate the cup and, you know, and then play like that.
What'd you make of the Bedard coverage last night? I never thought we would get to a game in the NHL while he was still playing where Sidney Crosby was a complete and total afterthought. But we got there last night with Connor Bedard in the coverage.
And, you know, I appreciate the idea of, hey, let's have, like, Sid and Connor have a conversation. Let's never do that again.
Let's not do that
let's
anymore.
Never, in fact, let's never let either of them do another interview the rest of the year. Can we do that?
There was one point where I felt a little bad for Bedard. It's like it's your NHL debut, and they interviewed him, I think, before the game, after the first intermission, and then after the game, like all the same person. Yeah. I was like, okay, guys, right. I get it.
And it's all like, yeah. You know, yeah.
This thing, he's a terrible interviewer.
I mean, he's a kid.
He's a kid. So it is what it is. But, like, I get it. He doesn't want to say anything at all because he's like, just let me play hockey. But, like, McDavid was the same way.
And I was going to say, who's the better player and the worse interview?
Jeez. It's bad, man.
It was a bit much. It was a bit much for sure. I will say, though, and I saw you tweet this, like, PK, I like PK and Messier.
Yes.
I like PK and Messier. Yeah. That's good.
Well, look, the NHL, like ESPN's coverage of it, I think, and it still is behind, but I thought it was so far behind TNT. Like, TNT's studio show is great. Like, with Biz and those guys, it's awesome.
Yep.
So, it's still not that, but PK in the studio, I think, is really good. So,
yes.
Subban and Messier together, it's way better than Messier. Like, Chelios brought nothing to the table. And
no.
You know, it was just nothing. So, PK in there instead of Messier, or excuse me, instead of Chelios, good call.
And Messier, he makes Messier better.
He does. You know?
But there's some good insight in there. And, I mean, PK, yeah. We knew this all along. Like, someday, PK is going to be great at that, and he is.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for The Choice Is Yours. Nick Kieser in the questions chair today. We will do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
We all have choices to make. Like right now. It's The Choice Is Yours, built by Jared Companies. You have a choice. So when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jared Companies. For more, visit JaredCompaniesInc.com. The choice is yours. Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It's that time of the week. Time for The Choice Is Yours on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by Jared Companies, above and beyond industry standards. Jared Companies now has a new commercial plumbing and HVAC division as well. The only company your company needs for site work, fire protection, paving, and concrete needs. If you need an estimate, call 615-515-1270 or visit JaredCompaniesInc.com. That's J-A-R-R-E-T-T Companies Inc. .com. Nick Kieser, you are in the questions chair today. I turn things over to you, my friend.
All right, guys. Sports? Non-sports.
Sports.
Okay. I thought this would be an amusing question.
Okay.
If you had to wear a jersey number for the rest of your life, what would it be? And it has to be something that you wear. Like, Joe's wearing a shirt on right now that's long sleeves. I have a short sleeve.
So just on any outfit?
Yeah. Anything.
So it's not a team jersey, it's just a number. Just
yeah,
a number.
You have to, like, you're donning a number like any other athlete does.
Okay. Mine probably would be 3. I enjoy the number 3, big Dwayne Wade guy.
That'd be my number 2 choice.
What is it?
Yep.
So 3 Alan is Trammell. My number in honor of Dwayne Wade, my favorite basketball player ever.
That's good. I was 11 every chance I could get. It was Obviously easier when I was an all-star quarterback in the Greater Manassas Football League in 1983 when Mike Vrabel was basically out of diapers. I basically paved the way for his football career. So I go with number 11. But a lot of it has to do with Isaiah Thomas.
Okay.
Both of us going the basketball route. Yeah.
I would be number 29. I always was number 29 growing up, and it was a go-to for me for everything.
Big Joel Ward guy?
More like Thomas Vokoun.
Vokoun, okay.
I guess. Vokoun. So, but, all right, first non-sports question is, and I had this debate with Kristen over the weekend, what is the best wings barbecue sauce, or wings sauce? Excuse me. The best sauce.
That's a Freudian slip there, by you.
You can have on wings. I know.
So I guess we know your answer.
I guess so.
Nope.
This is a very good question. Go ahead with your answer because.
Yeah, I'm sorting through a couple.
I will always go to the classic buffalo because I feel like every establishment could have their own. Like, I know some places just use the plain old Frank's Red, maybe. But there are quite a few places that I go, at least, where they have their own buffalo sauce. And I would prefer that over most other places. Make your own sauce. Have the good wings that come off the bone. That's the best simple thing for me. I don't like it too hot. I don't want Asian zing or any of that crap from Buffalo Wild Wings because it's too hot. But I think buffalo is just right for me.
I think mine's just... the honey barbecue. I'm a big honey barbecue guy, and I get that at a few different varying establishments, but honey barbecue, my favorite go-to wing sauce. I enjoy it. Nice little combination sweet.
Spoken like a true Gen Zer right there. I'm kind of with you on buffalo because I think like that's the original. But I also the dry rub wings.
Yeah.
Like at Sweetwater Tavern in Detroit, if you're ever there, downtown Detroit, they have this dry rub, and it's got some heat to it. That, to me, is the key. Like, I like what you're talking about, but to me, like, there's got to be a little bit of discomfort, right? I mean, if I'm going to eat a bunch of wings, I want to feel it. So a little bit of a smoke. But also, I've had, and now I'm going to contradict myself, making fun of you. I had these, like, it was like Guinness, but gold. I don't even know. I wish I knew the recipe. Obviously, I wish I even knew exactly what it was called. But it was kind of like, like gold. It's eluding me. But the gold wings. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But what? Anyway, it was like a Guinness sauce, and it was like, and it was unbelievable. I could have eaten like. Way more than I could have handled just because of the flavor of the sauce.
Yeah.
That was in like the Finger Lakes in New York.
Okay.
Like in 2003. So, thank you.
There you go. I like it.
The 03 Golden Wings. Okay. I guess we'll have to travel back in time and have those. So, if the NHL and the MLB expanded, where would it be next?
So, the NHL and the MLB.
Yes. I'll do two because I feel like we could kind of run through these.
Okay. NHL, I think the next city for expansion that you will see is going to end up being Houston.
Yep, and that's my answer too.
Houston is going to be where it's at. I mean, look, I think it's the fourth largest market in the United States. So I think that would be something that the NHL would be very interested in. I know that Canadians will go nuts when they hear that because Quebec City. And I'm hoping that the NHL, like, There's talk of like Atlanta getting a third try.
Yeah.
It's like, guys.
Oh, there is.
Can we cycle this around a little bit before we get back to a third Atlanta team? But Houston is my answer for the NHL. I mean, I want Nashville to be the answer for MLB. So I think a lot of people inside the Major League Baseball want that too. But at some point somebody's gonna have to pay for it in the new stadium and all that. But I'll go Houston NHL, Nashville MLB.
I have the exact same answers, and it's the exact same concern and everything with Nashville. I also think that at some point that will get figured out. I mean, I think absolutely MLB is interested in Nashville. It's just a matter of, having all you need for it to happen. And then, of course, figuring out where and exactly, what are we talking here? Are we talking Davidson County? Are we talking, up by TSU? Or are we talking – Franklin or Antioch or something like that. You know, so much to figure out. But I think it's going to get figured out in a matter of years.
Yeah, I think it'll be sooner rather than later for sure. I'm going to be a little bit different from y'all. I think that if the MLB expands, why not put it back in Montreal? That would be kind of cool. Now, I know that there was a little bit of talk once the Rays were still figuring out their whole stadium, but that was a few years ago, I believe, was when they talked about maybe splitting time for quote-unquote home games for them going to Montreal. So, I don't know. That might be fun to see the MLB back in Montreal. That's where I would go, maybe. And then for the NHL, I know that Gary Bettman has been tied to conversations with, I forget his name, but it slips my mind right now. I could probably look it up. But a wealthy businessman in Salt Lake City is interested in expanding in Utah. And looking at what Vegas has done, if they do it the right way and they build up the right personnel, I could see it going out there for really great reasons.
Maybe. I don't know. I have heard that, yes. But I don't know that that would be the way I would go if I were the league. But it could happen.
Yeah, very well could. All right, our final question in the non-sports category. If you could be best friends with an athlete, who would it be? I guess this could be dead or alive if you wanted it to be. But who would your best friend be if it was an athlete?
Anna Kournikova.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to say NWI.
What? We already are best friends, aren't we? I thought so.
Did you notice how he went on with Chase and Big Joe last week? And because I bet the conversation was something to the effect of, wait a minute, who am I going on with? Robbie and Rex are done at 9, right?
But you know how it is, though. You know, you come on this show, it's like we're too chummy. Like the inside jokes. Yeah, you know, the listeners don't want to hear all the inside jokes. Yeah. Let's go on a show and be professional and talk about football. And then, you know, I think we're going to do – I'm probably going to do like just like a two-hour podcast with him soon.
Yeah, probably so.
Talk about his life story.
Probably so.
But no, I'm going to stick with Anna Kournikova.
You're gonna stick with Anna Kournikova. That's good. I think mine would be Federer. I found him very fascinating. I like Roger Federer. He seems like a cool, down-to-earth guy, and it would make Roman Yossi extremely jealous if he was my best friend. So I'll go with that. I'll go Roger Federer.
Nice. And you could play, thank you, garlic parmesan. Thank you, Michelle.
Yes.
Yes, garlic parmesan.
That's good.
That's kind of what it was, but it was Guinness parmesan. But that's the gold.
Okay.
Sorry. Interesting. So we're looking for that kind of consistency. Okay, cool.
All right, who's your best friend, Nick? Who's your best athlete friend?
Mine would be growing up when I eventually played defense.
Right.
I came to – no, my gosh. when I came down to watching athletes, I loved watching Nicklas Lidström. And I used to tell my friends and my parents that he was the best player.
You're talking my language now.
Yes. I watched him a lot, and every time that they came to town, it was always Chelios is a sissy, but then I would always point out, well, Lidstrom's pretty good. So I would like to get to know him. He would be a fun guy to learn hockey from, especially for how smart he was on the ice as well.
Yeah.
I can appreciate that. So my answer would be Nick Lidstrom.
There you go. I like it. Can I get a
– I want to be best friends with you and Nick Lidstrom if you're going to be best friends with him.
Can I get a mini rant in really quick?
Sure.
Okay. And this comes from Alex on the text line. And
I swear to you,
I'm not trying to pick on Alex because I saw this a lot yesterday on Twitter while the game was going on, and I feel like we need to get this stopped.
This is a permarant.
Like,
this is a permarant.
I guess there are a lot of Predators fans that had a problem with the broadcast yesterday because they thought, I guess, that John Buchagras, Kevin Weeks, and Ryan Callahan were sitting in the broadcast booth like waving Tampa Bay Lightning pom-poms. Guys, they were fine.
Yeah.
They were excited when Tampa scored.
Callahan, you know, a couple times.
I mean, Callahan used to play for the Lightning.
Exactly.
So,
what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? I thought, look, I don't like Buchagras, Weeks, Callahan together as a crew anyway, but that's a separate discussion. But I thought they were fine. Like, it wasn't – I didn't get the vibe that they were, like, cheering for Tampa Bay yesterday. Like, did you hear them on the Novak goal? I thought Buchagras was going to fall out of the booth.
Oh, absolutely. Nah, he was giddy about anything the Preds did too that was significant.
Let's please not get into the announcer hates my team.
The announcer hates my team. Hey, watching Michigan State with Katie Rexrode. Oh, Katie, they don't hate. They're not cheering for the other team. No, they're not.
So, again, I'm not picking on Alex because this was a very prevalent thought yesterday on Twitter, and I saw it last night, and I wanted to be like, guys, can we please stop? It's game one.
Yes.
Come on.
That's an evergreen rant. Chris from Gallatin, beer mustard sauce from Mr. P Pizza and Pub. That's the idea, the beer mustard parmesan. It's like a bearded type thing, you know. Now, if you can make that spicy, I think you have the ultimate wing sauce.
The choice is yours, presented by Jarrett Companies, above and beyond industry standards. Jarrett Companies, the only company your company needs for site work, fire protection, paving, and concrete needs. If you need an estimate, call 615-515-1270 or visit JarrettCompaniesInc.com. Coming up next, we'll get into the Titans. Has DeAndre Hopkins proven that he can still be an elite wide receiver in this league? We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. This week's Nashville's Best Deal, half off a $50 gift card for Big Play Hendersonville. They offer everything from bowling, laser tag, indoor go-karts, bumper cars, arcade, fantastic food available to you, and more. Right now, you can get half off a $50 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals and check out all that they offer. DeAndre Hopkins on Sunday, Joe. Best player on the offense for the Titans. 8 catches, 140 yards. In 5 games this year, he has 26 catches, 356 yards. He's averaging 13.7 per reception, which is actually slightly above his career average of 13.3 per reception for DeAndre Hopkins. So he has been good for the Titans. Now, you know, throughout that stretch, after the New Orleans game up until recently, I mean, he's been dealing with the injury too. So the practice time has been limited, but he's been able to play and be out there and available for every game for the Titans. And even in some of these games where the numbers don't suggest that he's having a big game, he's made some big catches. Like the Chargers game comes to mind. He had 4 catches for 40 yards. He was dealing with the ankle injury that game, but made some big catches in the game. You know, he was one of 3 or 4 people in the entire Cleveland game that looked like they had a pulse out there. 3 catches, 48 yards, 4 for 63 against Cincinnati. And then, of course, last week, the big one, 8 for 140. So I don't know that we're going to see 8 catches for 130, 140 yards every week for DeAndre Hopkins at this point. But it does feel like, number one, he's getting healthier, and number two, he's getting better with Tannehill as the season goes on here. So what have been your thoughts on what Hopkins has brought to the table? And do you think he has shown you that he can still be among the upper echelon elite wide receivers in this league based on what you've seen?
I'm just dazzled. I was wrong. I mean, even when he was brought up, or way back when he was initially brought up, one, I thought about Julio Jones, and of course I was gaga about that move, and we know how that turned out. But also just when you have injuries plus you have a PED thing, that makes me think it's someone who really is starting to break down. And it's still early in this season, so keep an open mind on anybody getting injured. But he is so fun to watch.
He's
like
really
watching
good.
That game over again and just like go back to like the Bengals game, the like the little subtle move he made to get himself 5 yards of space on that fade. His feet and his just feel, his ability to twist DBs into knots, and whether it's man or zone, just to like get himself space, it really is like it's clinical. And it's not, he's not super fast. He's not the fastest guy, the strongest guy. He's a great example of if you are an elite technician, there's so much more to being a receiver than just being big and fast. That's what he is. He is a guy who I'm trying to think of like a comparison for him, just someone who's so far beyond like his talent level because he has mastered the craft. I mean, it's almost like, I guess, like this isn't a great comparison, but I think of like someone like Draymond Green who, like, you know, is kind of like pudgy and undersized and whatever, but he's so effective because he knows all the little angles of.
I knew you'd find a way to get Draymond in.
Yeah,
you know,
not basketball. Basketball's coming, baby. But I mean, that's not a great. But you know what I mean. It's someone. Yeah. It's like people like that who are well beyond their physical. Not that he's not physically talented. He is. He's big and fast and all that stuff. But like he's something else, man. So enjoy watching him. I would say, Titans fans. And by the way, does D-Mace just hate DeAndre Hopkins? What's up with D-Mace and DeAndre?
I don't know.
He thinks he's bad. I think.
Well, I don't know. I haven't heard that.
I've heard some paraphrasing of, but I have heard D-Mace a few times on their show previously. I mean, before the season started, saying he didn't think this was going to be any sort of helpful move. And then at that point, it's like, okay. But even like now, I'm hearing that D-Mace is like, whatever.
I mean, he looked pretty good to me on Sunday. Now, I'm not a former NFL wide receiver, but I mean, 8 catches for 40 yards. He looked pretty good.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I value D-Mace's analysis, but I would think that he'd be really impressed.
Well, right now, I just ran the numbers. DeAndre Hopkins is on pace for 88 catches and about 1,210 yards. So, I mean, if you'd have told me that before the season, if you're a Titans fan, you're signing up for that all day long. Now,
especially if you hope that, like, Burks can get you 800.
Right.
You know, that's – but, yeah.
88 catches, 1,210 yards. I mean, that's a pretty – again, we're a long way away from the end of the season, so he's still got to stay healthy and has to remain at that pace. I mean, who knows? If he's getting more comfortable, maybe that pace increases as they move forward. I have no idea. But if you get anything close to that out of him right now, that's a heck of a move. Think about where the offense would be right now with Burks, with the way it's gone with Burks to this point if they didn't have Hopkins. Think about where this passing attack would be.
Right. I mean, Chris Moore, I would think, would get some more targets at his 33.5-yard average.
I would think
so,
too.
He and NWI. Yeah, I mean, Hopkins, you don't want to think about where this team would be without him. Someone texts, bet the Chiefs are wishing they find a way to sign him. Imagine Hopkins, what we've seen of him this year with Mahomes.
In all seriousness, I mean, he would be their best wide receiver on the team, and it wouldn't be close in Kansas City. You know,
right.
They still got Travis Kelce, obviously, but – in terms of just the receivers, he would be the best one they have.
And it'd be just – because, you know, it's funny. Obviously, they used to have Hill, the guy, and then it was just such a problem. But he and Kelce are similar to me in that, like, they just know how to get open.
Yeah.
Zone, man, they will get open.
Yeah.
So you'd have two of those guys. But they didn't do it. Maybe the Titans can trade Hopkins to the Chiefs for 3 first-round picks.
Maybe so. I just think he's played really well. He's not – I ask, can he still be an elite wide receiver? Like, I guess that depends on what your definition of elite is. Like, he's not, Justin Jefferson out there, which, by the way, he's going to be hurt for the next 4 weeks. But, the numbers, if he stays on the pace he's at right now, they're going to end up being pretty darn good for DeAndre Hopkins. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Jeff. Jeff, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys, thank you so much. I know we talk about the receivers and the offensive line, and I might have missed it, but, boy, I tell you, the defensive backs, and if you just look at the pure numbers, I know we were ranked, I believe, 29th last year. I'm sure we're in the bottom third in pass defense, and I know, if I'm not mistaken, Vrabel got a new coach back there, and doesn't seem like personnel has changed a whole lot, but, I mean, isn't it time for Vrabel to kind of stand up and – whether it's new personnel or different schemes, just seems like, again, the pass defense, year after year after year, they used to blame it on the line. They can't do that now with Simmons and Dart. I'm still confused about the lack of passing defense that's been haunting this team for years, if not decades. And I really appreciate y'all's comments and thoughts on that. Thank you so much.
Yep, thanks for the call, Jeff. Appreciate it. I mean, it's bad. There's no question about it. We've talked a lot about that this week in terms of Fulton and his role in the game on Sunday. But as a whole, I mean, their pass defense is struggling. And the one part of this that I think the more you look at it, Joe, that has been disappointing, and to Jeff's point there, is the secondary. And we've talked a lot about that this week. They've been bad, and they've got to find a way to get better. Coupled with that, though, like, the pass rush has got to find a way to be a little bit more consistent than it has been so far this year for the Titans. Like, you need to see more out of Arden Key. Obviously, Landry's coming off the ACL, so we know why he's probably not been as effective as we're used to seeing from Harold Landry. But They got to find a way to get a little bit more from the pass rush than they've gotten to this point.
Yeah, but if you want to, no, for sure. But if you want to just talk about the secondary, I think Sean Murphy Bunting has been a fine pickup. I think Roger McCreary's been good. You don't hear him. You don't hear about McCreary much. That's good.
It's good.
I think you want the safeties to make more plays. Those guys, those guys have been, I think, one of the best tandems in the NFL. I think they need to make more plays.
A very quiet year from Kevin Byard.
But the real situation is just that Christian Fulton, in most of these games, other than the Bengals game, has made just at least one critical mistake, and in some of these games, several, and four big ones in the last game, and that just kills you. So that needs to be figured out. Either Christian Fulton getting back to how he can play, or a move at some point there. But I just, can argue about that all week. I'm sure we'll have more arguments about that.
I'm sure we will. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. We'll get into Ryan Tannehill and his performance through five games coming up next. Mark, hang with us. We'll get to you as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight, enjoy the excitement, and play today at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.